Now, I want you to ignore your bulletin from this point on, with the exception of the closing hymn. We'll keep that one. This has been, most of you probably don't know what goes on in the church office during the week, because we all have lives, right? But this week has been a lot of things have come to culmination in the life of our church and certain personalities and in my ministry. And church, for numerous reasons, I believe we're under significant spiritual attack as a church. And you may not see it. Your life may actually be pretty okay right now, but we've got a lot of hurting people, especially in some of our marriages. And so we're going to put off what I was going to preach on today, and we're going to get down to business today, and we're going to go to war today, church. We are going to pray together. We are going to adore God together. We are going to confess and repent of our sins together. There's not a single one in this room does not have something to repent and confess. And that point, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to say them out loud. but I would encourage you that if there is a relationship within the church body especially, that you have not had a conversation with the other person, whether you're waiting for them to come to you or you need to go to them, get off your butt and go. Okay, it's a two-way street. You can't just sit around and wait forever because you may die. Okay? And then we're going to do a little bit more Thanksgiving. We don't have to do it in quite the length that we did. But we are not losers to Satan. And we are going to put him through God's word and prayer in his place today, church. And for those of you who are introverts, I'm going to switch it up on you today. And at the end of we're going to end. And you're going to take your little pockets in the pews. We've done this in the past before. And you're going to gather and pray for each other. And so in those group, there is not a single person that I want silent. You don't have to pray out loud, but I want you to share something that you can be praying for each other. Because to come to the place of the broken, which is the church, and not have something that you need to pray about, church, we've got to start getting real. We've got to take, you know, stained glass is beautiful until it starts to cover up our sin and our weaknesses. And so this is a beautiful building, but we've got some hurt here. We've got some pain. And Satan is capitalizing it on it, and he's digging his talons in. And so we are going to war. This is a moment of worship. And I can't guarantee you we'll be out by noon. And so I want to give you the freedom that if worship ends for you at noon, you are free to go. No guilt. But people have things to do, I understand. You are free to go if we are not done at noon. And so with prayer, I gave it the structure. Many of you know the structure of the Acts: prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving. And so for adoration, we need to look at 1 Corinthians 16, 23 through 31. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so, church, I'm going to give you the opportunity now to give him praise. Not thanksgiving, but just call out who he is, his character, his name, his nature. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, anything. Just say it now in conviction of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I find helpful in many of my prayer times is the book of Valley Vision. And so each moment of prayer that we have, I'm going to either begin or close our time with a prayer from here. So if you would pray with me. O God, praise waiteth for thee, and to rend it is my noblest exercise. This is thy due from all thy creatures, for all thy works display thy attributes and fulfill thy designs. The sea, dry land, winter cold, summer heat, morning light, evening shade are full of thee, and thou givest me them richly to enjoy. Thou art King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at thy pleasure empires rise and fall. All thy works praise thee, and thy saints bless thee. Let me be numbered with thy holy ones, resemble them in character and condition, sit with them at Jesus' feet. May my religion be always firmly rooted in thy word, my understanding divinely informed, my affections holy and heavenly, my motives simple and pure, and my heart never wrong with thee. Deliver me from the natural darkness of my own mind, from the corruptions of my heart, from the temptations to which I am exposed, from the daily snares that attend me. I am in constant danger while I am in this life. Let thy watchful eye ever be upon me for my defense. Save me from the power of my worldly and spiritual enemies and from all the painful evils to which I have exposed myself. Until the day of life dawns above, let there be unrestrained fellowship with Jesus. Until fruition comes, may I enjoy the earnest of my inheritance and the first fruits of the Spirit. Until I finish my course with joy, may I pursue it with diligence. In every part display the resources of the Christian and adorn the doctrine of thee, my God, in all things. Amen. And so, as we have adored God, we have seen his majesty, his grace, his omniscience. You just rattled it off. And this same God invites you and he invites me to not just say our sins, but to turn from them. Because he's taken them. He's paid for them. He has called us not to darkness, but into light, and to hide our sin or hide from them is to dwell in darkness and sadness. And so he invites us to confess our sins, and he says, he makes, this is a promise, church. This isn't a burden. This is a promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful. And he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as I was thinking about this morning, I was putting this together this morning, I was wrestling with the sins of my heart and the sins that I know are in this church. And so we have the sin of pride. We have bitterness is probably the easiest sin to have and to dwell on. Unrighteous anger. Wrath, murmuring and grumbling. I remember listening to a sermon on the radio by John MacArthur, and he made the point, what happened to the Israelites when they murmured? At times, the earth swallowed them up. Murmuring, grumbling, complaining, having a thin skin, being offended at everything, having a thick skin and never letting someone share the truth to you that you want to change. Worry, fear, apathy and laziness, spiritual or physical, lust, greed, busyness, being too busy with your time, gossip, gluttony, stubbornness, hard heart, divisiveness, blame. It's everyone else's fault, right? God put the tree in the garden. Isn't it his fault? This woman you gave me. Satan's fault. And the root of all of it is idolatry. And so I want you to take this time, and in your hearts, not out loud, I want you to confess sin. And so I'm going to say this prayer, and we're going to give you and us a few minutes to deal with God, to confess our sins, and leave them at the cross. In the past, when I've had campfires and we've done something like this, I've had kids write a sin or something that they're dealing with on a popsicle stick and throw it in the fire, and I tell them, what happens if you were to try to pick that up again? You're going to get burned. And this isn't meaning that when you repent, you're not going to have to battle for repentance every day, and that you do, let's be honest, church, we do reach into the fire, and it does burn us. But let's start the work of repentance now and lay our stuff before the Father. The title of this prayer is The Cry of the Convicted Sinner, so pray with me. Thou righteous and holy Sovereign, in whose hand is my life and whose are all my ways, keep me from fluttering about religion. Fix me firm in it, for I am irresolute. My decisions are smoke and vapor, and I do not glorify thee or behave according to thy will. Cut me not off before my thoughts grow to responses and the budding of my soul into full flower. For thou art forbearing and good, patient and kind. Save me from myself, from the artifices and deceits of sin, from the treachery of my perverse nature, from denying thy charge against my offenses, from a life of continual rebellion against thee, from wrong principles, views, and ends. For I know that all my thoughts and affections, desires and pursuits are alienated from thee. I have acted as if I hated thee, although thou art love itself, have contrived to tempt thee to the uttermost, to wear out thy patience, have lived evilly in word and action. Had I been a prince, I would long ago have crushed such a rebel. Had I been a father, I would long since have rejected my child. O thou Father of my spirit, thou King of my life, cast me not into destruction. Drive me not from thy presence, but wound my heart that it may be healed. Break it that thine own hand may make it whole. And I invite you to do your work with the Lord in this moment. Blessed God, 10,000 snares are mine without and within. Defend thou me. When sloth and indolence seize me, give me views of heaven. When sinners entice me, give me disrelish of their ways. When sensual pleasures tempt me, purify and refine me. When I desire worldly possessions, help me to be rich toward thee. When the vanity of the world ensnare me, let me not plunge into new guilt and ruin. May I remember the dignity of my spiritual release, never be too busy to attend to my soul, never be so engrossed with time that I neglect the things of eternity. Thus may I not only live, but grow towards thee. Form my mind to right notions of religion, that I may not judge of grace by wrong conceptions, nor measure my spiritual advances by the efforts of my natural being. May I seek after an increase of divine love to thee, after unreserved resignation to thy will, after extensive benevolence to my fellow creatures, after patience and fortitude of soul, after a heavenly disposition, after a concern that I may please thee in public and private. Draw on my soul the lineaments of Christ in every trace and feature of which thou wilt take delight. For I am thy workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, thy letter written with the Holy Spirit's pen, thy tilled soil ready for the sowing, then harvest. In Jesus' merciful name we pray. Amen. Now it's difficult to imagine of now jumping into a time of Thanksgiving. But I want you to understand something, we can. Because if you took this moment seriously, if you took this confession and repentance seriously to the depths of your heart, you are forgiven. The words of absolution upon your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, brothers and sisters. There is no longer a weight for you to carry around. There is no whip of transgression to beat yourself down with, for you are forgiven. You do not need to carry this, to feel the guilt and the shame any longer, because you felt it in the moment of prayer and you laid it before your crucified Savior, who laid it to rest for 3 days and rose victorious over the sins you just confessed. So give thanks, church. Give glory to Him because He offers that and He brings it and He paid for it. This is now not a moment of sadness, but of joy and freedom in Christ Jesus. And so give thanks for that we have a roof over our heads and that the Gestapo is not outside our door. Give thanks that you can worship in spirit and in truth. Give thanks that whether you are feeling in dry spiritual or even physical exile, the Lord is the rock that pours out water. He was struck and poured out His flesh and His blood for your forgiveness. Give thanks with a heart that is broken and is mended together by the sacrificed Savior, the Immaculate Lamb. And so give thanks. I'm not going to ask you to cry out if you want to. The Lord is listening. But give thanks. In all things, give thanks. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. Psalm 26, I wash my hands in innocence. And you can say that now, church, because you repented. You are pardoned. And go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. And church, this was written in temple culture where the Lord dwelled behind a curtain. He no longer dwells behind the curtain. He dwells in your heart. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of my God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And so, church, pray with me a prayer of thanksgiving. Oh my God, thou fairest, greatest, first of all objects. My heart admires, adores, and loves thee. For my little vessels is full as it can be. Thank you. And I would pour out all that fullness before thee in ceaseless flow. When I think upon and converse with thee, 10,000 delightful thoughts spring up. 10,000 sources of pleasure are unsealed. 10,000 refreshing of joys spread over my heart, crowding into every moment of happiness. I bless thee for thy soul hast created, for adorning my soul and sanctifying it. Though it is fixed in barren soil, for the body thou hast given me, for preserving its strength and vigor, for providing senses to enjoy delights, for the ease and freedom of my limbs, for hands, eyes, ears that do thy bidding, for thy royal bounty providing my daily support, for a full table and overflowing cup, for appetite, taste, sweetness, for social joys of relatives and friends, for ability to serve others, for a heart that feels sorrows and necessities, for a mind to care for my fellow men, for opportunities of spreading happiness around, for loved ones in the joys of heaven, for my own expectation of seeing thee clearly. I love thee above the powers of language to express, for what thou art to thy creatures. Increase my love, O my God, through time and eternity. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, if you're not asking for prayer, start now. You're not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. If you're not praying for each other, start now. We need you. I didn't write the whole thing, but Ephesians 6, starting with verse 13 to 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. And do not be, this one, church, this one's right to the issue of my heart. Do not be anxious about anything. Really? Really, anything? Really, anything? Yes, anything. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, fancy word for praying for each other, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I want you, church, to gather together, turn around in a row. If you have to, introduce yourself. I know. And share at least one thing with each other that you can be praying for together in this moment. Don't sit alone in this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, do not sit alone. I will come get you. This is not... Bill, don't make me come back there. don't pray alone. So I invite you this time to turn around, turn to your left, turn to your right, and find some people to pray with. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could gather together, that we could pray together, that we could confess together, repent together, give thanks together, adore you together. And Lord, we lift up those who are not here with us today, whether it's because of sin, whether it's because of hurt, whether it's because of unbelief. Lord, whatever the reasons are, we lift them up to you and we ask that you would protect them from the evil one. And if they are ensnared by the evil one, Lord, in Jesus' name we rebuke the evil one. And we ask that you would send your angels and cast them away. Lord, may he not be given any quarter. But may your Son send his flaming, fiery angels to battle for their souls. And that the evil one would suffer a great loss this day. That he would wander far from us. Pick another flock to pick on. But Lord, we know that the only reason he does that is because his days are numbered. And so Lord, we do lift up our brothers and sisters that are attacked today as well. We lift up Sutherland Springs. And we lift up future churches that will be gunned down. And we ask that you would give them strength. And that your church would rise and bring hope. And bring steadfast faith in you. Lord, may this day be the day that we choose to stand our ground, fully armored in the face of an enemy that wants to see us destroyed, but that we stand in victory not because of our ability to pray and not because of the goodness of our works, but because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. May you receive all the glory and the honor today. In Jesus' precious and holy and eternal name we pray. Amen.